you so much, those of you online with us. We thank you so much for joining with us tonight. It's healing night, amen? And so we want you to believe and receive your healing, amen? Are you ready to receive tonight? Tonight, we're going to talk about the healing anointing, different characteristics for us to embrace and to know. We're going to start with Mark chapter 16, 15 through 18. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verse number 15 through 18. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow them, those cast out demons. They speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Praise God. It's going in and out. Okay, all right. I might switch mics, guys. Yeah, it's going out. I think it's going in and out. So let me just go with the regular mic. Praise God. All the time. All right, so in the previous 3 weeks, we discussed faith for healing and how faith will activate the healing power of God. You can activate the healing power by your own faith in the Word of God. So stop right now and receive that statement into your spirit. Anytime, anywhere, you can activate the healing power by your own faith in the Word of God. Because the Word of God clearly tells us over and over, and it's God's will to heal us, that by His stripes we were healed. So it's an established fact that you can put, and truth that you can put your faith in. There's enough power that you can activate in that one verse of Scriptures, 1 Peter 2:24, to heal you of anything and everything that is wrong with your physical body. Amen. So the Word of God, as we shared, that we can, by faith, receive our healing, number one. We talked about that in faith for healing. We talked about, number two, resist Satan, sin and sickness, and evil situations. So Satan, sin, sickness, and situations that are negative or evil, by faith, through the power of our faith rebuke or our confession called the power of our rebuke. We can rebuke the winds of adversity. We can rebuke fevers. Amen. Jesus rebuked demons and diseases. Amen. So that's where we can use, by faith, resistance to things that are opposing your life and the will of God for and in your life. All right. Number three, we can rejoice, as we talked about last Wednesday, and connect our believing to our receiving. When we stop rejoicing, we said last week, we stop receiving. So as our brother led us in pre-service prayer, our joy and rejoicing needs to be continuous if we want our receiving to be continuous. If we want to receive continuously, we need to be rejoicing continuously. Amen? So we can and should implement the praise cure in our life and lifestyle of faith. This is what we said. We said this truth many times. Doubt complains, worries, and is sad. Faith rejoices. You can just stop right there. Faith, rejoice. If you're in faith, if you believe that you received your healing in this context of what we're teaching about tonight, when you pray, you would thank God and thank the Lord for it. Because when you receive something, you just say thank you. That's a common response. But if you believe that you received your healing, you would say what? Thank you. So that was very critical, and we want everyone to go back and embrace the rejoicing aspect of our faith, because usually that's one of the things that kind of hinders people. They just don't rejoice because they don't think they've received. Why? Because they're basing their faith on their feelings or the facts of the evidentiary circumstances that are in their life. But faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is what? Glad. Because when you say, when you believe you receive your healing, you're not sad. Even in the midst of that pain or physical problem, you're not sad, you're glad. You're glad because according to the Word of God, I'm well. According to the Word of God, I am what? Healed. Now remember, Dr. Lillian B. Yeoman, in her book, His Healing Power, she says that we can stand on God's word for salvation and healing after we have met God's conditions and grounded every weapon of rebellion. Those are usually love walk, honor walk conditions. It's hard for your faith to work when you don't forgive. When you got harboring unforgiveness or you're in a heart condition of an offense. You've got to forgive for your faith to work. Amen? No love, no faith. No faith, no grace. Healing is God's grace toward us. It's a measure, an immeasurable, unlimited amount of God's grace given to us. So we can receive healing in our bodies, healing in our minds, in our emotions, in all that pertains to our lives. Praise the Lord. But we had to ground those weapons because, you know, it'll stop you from receiving. Amen. You need to be in obedience. You need to don't carry a whole bunch of garbage truck load of sin in your heart. Amen. Keep your clear conscience before God and man. You can't go around and fuss at everybody and get in strife with everybody and expect to receive. All right. Amen. We understand that, right? We can praise our way through to perfect manifested victory. Amen. So we said your demonstration or your celebration is a demonstration of your expectation. And so if you're expecting for your healing to manifest and victory to manifest, then you would demonstrate it by your celebration. Okay? She goes on to say, Dr. Lillian B. Yeoman, that this she calls it, she said, I call the praise cure. And it never fails. When the praise is the outflow of a heart resting on God's unchanging word. What are you praising him for? His faithfulness to his words. If God said it, now, first, before you even say if God said it, you got to realize that God is not a what? A man that he should what? Lie, nor a son of man that he needs to repent. If he said it, he will what? He will do it. If he spoke it, he will make it good. Jeremiah 1 says that he will hasten his word to perform it. In other words, that he will perform his word and perform his will and promise in your life. Praise God. So when his word that never fails, and it's impossible for God to lie, for God be true, let every man and everything else be a lie. When you find it in God's word, that outflow from your heart, resting on God's unchanging, unfailing word, should erupt in praise. So by faith, friends, we get plugged into the healing power that is everywhere present, because we said healing always does what? Comes. Now, it's not always received, but it always comes. And we said this power is present everywhere. Why is that? It's because God is present everywhere. The Bible says in Proverbs, he's in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So if he's omnipresent, he is certainly omnipotent. That means his power is available. Now, a lot of people don't tap into that power when they need it because it takes faith to get plugged into that power. It takes faith to plug into that power. And in this context, healing power, delivering power. Healing always comes and power is present everywhere. So that's why you can get healed at home. You can get healed at church. You can get healed on your job. Come on, you don't have to wait till you go to travel 1,000 miles to get to a certain spot to get healed. Come on, you can get healed right where you're at right now. Praise God. Let's just thank God for that right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, all you have to bring to that scenario and equation in your life is your faith. Your active, authentic faith. Now, let's talk about the healing anointing a little bit tonight. Acts 10:38, let's look at the anointing on Christ and the anointing in and on us. So it says in Acts 10:38 in the New King James, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. So he's anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The Amplified Classic says it this way. I really like how it says it. How God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. With strength, ability, and power, who went about doing good and in particular curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil. For God was with him. Isn't that good? So understand these terms, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. The anointing, the Holy Spirit, and power are virtually synonymous. The anointing, the Holy Spirit, and power are virtually synonymous. This simply means that we're able to use these terms interchangeably when we're discussing the subject of the healing anointing and the power of God. Now, concerning the individual anointing, we know that God anoints individuals to minister. I'm anointed to pastor and teach. Those are the offices I stand in. So there's an anointing for me to function and flow and flourish in that office. Everyone who is a Christian believer, born again, Christ follower, is anointed by God's grace for a certain place and a certain race. Everybody say, I'm anointed. So there are different offices which God calls them to ministers, the office of apostle, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teacher. And so Jesus stood in all five of those ministry offices. And so he had the anointing that goes with every one of those offices. Jesus was maxed out. You see like a rating on a hotel or whatever, the 5 stars. He was maxed out 5 stars plus. Amen. Because the Bible says Jesus had the anointing without measure. John 3:34 says it. For whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit. God does not give the Spirit by measure to him. So he didn't have the Spirit by measure. So when we think of the name Jesus Christ, for the most of the world, people think that that's Jesus' last name or his title. But see, when you think of it that way, it holds no weight or importance to their minds. But yet, it's so much more. See, Christ, we shared this before, is the Greek word anointing or anointed, or the anointed one. You know, Hebrew word Messiah, but Greek word anointing or anointed or anointed one. More correctly, you would say the anointed one and his anointing. Talking about the healing anointing. Messiah is the Hebrew word, as we said, the same meaning and power. So to anoint someone is to pour, rub, and smear all over. Like you would pour oil or pour lotion on someone and rub it in, smear it in. See, God poured and rubbed and smeared all over Jesus a supernatural ability to bring mankind back into relationship with him. Acts 10:38 again. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. What was he healing? People that were under demonic or satanic oppression. And that's where we get this phrase, all healing is a form of satanic oppression. Amen. Sickness comes from its father, Satan, and its mother, sin. It's a form of physical death or decaying or dying. That body part or that brain doesn't work fully functional. It's injured, it's infirmed, it's afflicted. Praise the Lord. Although this verse gives us some detail about Jesus' anointing, Jesus himself gives us detailed breakdown of the anointing. In Luke 4:8, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. His first message when he returned from the wilderness, went to his hometown church, and stood up to read the Bible and picked Isaiah 61 and read from that text and described the anointing that was on him in detail. The Spirit of the Lord is God, Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book. He said, this is what that anointing on me is for. Jesus was anointed to prosper others, to heal and liberate. So we see it broken down in this context to give freedom, spiritually, mentally, and physically, and financially. He gave us freedom. Number two, to give us sight or revelation. In other words, to remove oppression and depression, spiritual dullness, density, and darkness from our minds and our spiritual eyes. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? Number three, to reclaim, restore, and reinstate man's right, previous rights and authority over God's creation. He restored us back to our original blessing and dominion mandate. So like Jesus, we've been completely covered with God's supernatural ability to accomplish only what God can do. We have been created and anointed by the Lord for such a time as this. And you got to realize and receive and recognize that you are anointed. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19 through 22. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, But in him it was yes. In him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes. And in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Isn't that good? Now he who established us with you in Christ and has, look at that past tense, has anointed us is God. God's the one who anointed us. He also has sealed us and has given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So there is an anointing on us for service. There is an anointing in us for specific, situational, and sudden things that you need to know, do, and work through. Everybody say, the anointing is on me and in me. Acts 1:8. We'll show you those two verses right now. Two contexts. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria into the uttermost parts of the world. So on you is for your service of witnessing, working. Amen. For the Lord and serving others. Praise the Lord. You don't want to stand in an office without the anointing. Because, you know, as you see football's going on now, if a football player doesn't go out on that field with his helmet and shoulder pads and equipment, he can get severely hurt. The same thing with a Christian. When you walk out of that door, in the arena of life, in your realm of influences, where you live, and the devil comes at you, he sees you without your uniform. Because maybe you think service is, oh, when I volunteer in church. No, you serve God 24/7, 365. Now, you might have an assignment on a job at a particular company, but your service is still to that company is as unto the Lord. So you're serving the Lord in that company, on that job, in those businesses, whatever. If you got even domestic responsibilities and you have to run errands or go do groceries or shuffle kids around, if you had to do that, that you still have to serve. You're still serving. See, this anointing and power of the Holy Spirit on you is for service as a believer and Christ follower. So primarily, this is serving for others, the Lord and others, and public causes and public commissions of Christ. So how can we fulfill the commission that God's given us, the commands that God has put before us? With the anointing. Because God's not calling you to do things just you can do by yourself in and of your own strength. You're going to need him. Amen. That's why you need faith, and that's why you need the anointing. Now, there's a connection factor with faith and the anointing. We're going to talk about it in just a second. Faith gives action to that anointing and that connection. Amen? So if you never go out of the house by faith, you won't be anointed when you go out of the house by faith because of your lack of faith. All right. Look at the other example of the anointing in 1 John 2:20 and 27. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know how many things? All things. So the first thing you should not do is say, I don't know. Now, I'm kicking the bucket a little bit tonight because some people say, I don't know about this technology, this phone, this internet, this email. Come on. You got that anointing to learn, to grow, to develop. Praise God. when the pastor had tasked me and said, hey, look, you got to do this. We got this you need to do. Not 1 minute of training. I'm not talking about even half a minute of training. Stuck behind a computer, stuck with a manual about that thick. Learn how to do it because we need to get it done. Well, you have to tap into the anointing. Because with the anointing, you know all things. Remember, the anointing, the Holy Spirit, power are all virtually synonymous. So you say, I'm powerless. When we're really powerful because of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, the anointing of the Holy Spirit in and on us. Look at verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abides where? In you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But the same anointing teaches you concerning how many things? Man, if you need to do something with the dog, he'll teach you the best way to do it with the dog. I think we don't lean on an anointing in us enough. And it's true, and it says it's not a lie. Just as it's taught you, you will abide, it will abide in you. Now, there's a phrase that goes around. I mean, I think Mark Hankins had said it once. I've learned it. He said, the more you drink, the better you think. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so you can be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, who is the agency of the anointing. See, if you don't think that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, you think, I can't do this. I can't handle this. I can't take this anymore. See, this anointing in you is the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit in you for strength when you're weak, skill when you seem to have and demonstrate no skill. Now, you're talking about different than talent, because some people lean on their talent too much and they're not anointed with that talent. You need skill and you need support. Support, hallelujah, that means you need to back up. You need something to rest in and rely on. Specific knowledge, wisdom, and know-how and know when. That's the anointing. Amen. Everybody say, we're 1,000 times bigger and better on the inside than on the outside. See, the greater one lives inside of you, the mighty Holy Spirit. So here's a story as we interject here at this point. Brother Copeland, his granddaughter was stricken ill in a they were on a family vacation. They had all the kids, grandkids. And she was stricken ill, critically ill, of meningitis and some other internal diseases in Colorado, when they were in Colorado. I don't know all the specifics about what was going on, but she was almost comatose and was going down rapidly. And everybody say, thank God for the Holy Spirit. You can't charge into a situation like a bull in a china shop and use your cookie cutter method to pray for every situation the same way. Everybody say this phrase with me. Jesus is the way, but the Holy Ghost is the how. So you have to depend upon the leadership and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because remember, he's the agency of the anointing. And so when he equips you with power, your words will now be empowered. Your deeds and actions will be empowered. So he walks, Brother Copeland walks in, and when this came up, the mother at the time, Kelly, was told by her older sister, and she looked at her, and she got up, and when she heard the doctor's report, I mean, it was a death sentence. And first thing, what happened? Fear wants to come up on you. And then she got up, walked toward the wall, like I'm looking at this wall, or you can turn around this way. Look at, she walked away from everyone and everything and said, I refuse to fear. She had to resist the fear. Remember what we have to do when fear comes? We have to resist it and replace it with what? Faith. My daughter's not going to die. She's going to live and declare the works of the Lord. That means that's in the faith of a face of a death sentence, in a real serious critical dilemma. So she turned around, and Brother Copeland got a leading of the Holy Spirit. He said, don't lay hands on her. He said, just put your finger on her, kind of like her collarbone cavity right here, and just talk to the anointing on the inside of her. Now, what is the anointing on the inside of you for? It's for your own victories. It's for your own triumphs. It's for your own breakthroughs. Now, you could be have a habit or a situation where the anointing can be applied and come up in your life and remove that burden and destroy that yoke of bondage off of your life. Somebody said, glory to God. And so he tapped on her collarbone. And he said, I command that anointing to rise up. Now, she's almost out in a full coma. She's under heavy sedation. She is drifting backwards. Once he touched her and spoke and activated that anointing in her, he said her eyes popped open, and she had a growl in her mouth. And she saw her papa. She said, papa, by his stripes, I am healed. And she began to resist that sickness and resist that thing coming upon her. And the anointing and the power of God came upon that little girl. And it removed every single situation that was going on in her body. Somebody said, glory to God. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I am anointed. There's enough anointing power in you to take care of everything that comes against you. Now, you have to acknowledge that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I'm 1,000 times bigger and better on the inside than I am. You have to acknowledge, and you have to acknowledge the anointing to activate it. Acknowledge it by faith. Why was Jesus going around saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me? Now, I got it from Brother Hagin and Pastor Mark Hankins. Every time you step into your office, or you step into your place and in your grace, or run your race, you say, I believe that I receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit, come on now, to stand in the office or offices that I've been called and anointed to stand in. Amen. I'm called to minister under the anointed and Holy Spirit as you choose, Lord. You have to acknowledge it. You have to announce it. Now, when Brother Hagin went to heaven, here's another quick story. And Jesus was giving him a special anointing for healing. And he said, kneel before me. He laid his hands on him, and then he put the finger of his right hand in the palm of his hands, both hands. And he said, his hands began to burn like hot coals. He said, I've anointed you with a special anointing. Now, he could minister to people by faith and minister to people by the laying on of hands. Listen to me. But God had anointed him with a special anointing. Now, it worked every time when he announced it and told them what Jesus said to him, and what, because he had to acknowledge that he had a special anointing. What do we have to do? We have to acknowledge that we are anointed, that the Lord has anointed me for this time. Anointed me to deal with this problem. Anointed me to to overcome and experience victory in this situation. The Lord has anointed me. Come on, somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? And he said it won't work unless you tell him. See, faith is voice activated, like we said Sunday. There's so many things that you activate by your faith. Philemon 6, the communication of your faith becomes effective by what? Acknowledging every good thing that's in you in Christ. Now, we take our knowledge of who Christ is. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Every good thing in me, in the anointed one, in his anointing. That means God anointed Jesus, and he's anointed me because I'm in Jesus. I'm in Christ. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, let's finish it up with some characteristics of the healing anointing. What is the healing anointing again? Isaiah 10:27 says to us, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken from off your shoulder and the yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Isaiah 10:27. So we define that simply as the anointing is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. Now, who brings the burden? The devil. Who enslaves with the yoke? The devil. So it's symbolic of what we said in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were what? Oppressed. Oppressed means burdened and yoked up. Burdened and yoked up. But the anointing is the burden removing and yoke destroying power of God. So without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, every assignment, every situation becomes hard to handle and heavy laden. And like the Holy Spirit told me after I had done my outline, he said, every assignment, every alignment, every association becomes hard. People just can't hardly get along with people. You see it today. Why? Because they don't announce and profess by faith that I'm anointed to be a relational person. That's why they fuss, fight, and argue all the time. Always combative and debateful with people. They always doubt people. They don't have any type of good when their outlook toward other people. Why? Because you're trying to do it without the anointing. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The way the anointing works first is that it's three things, and we're going to talk about in the balance of our time. It's transmittable. It's transmittable. Everybody say transmittable. Matthew 14, 35, and 36. Matthew 14, 35, 36. And when the man of that place recognized him, they sent out unto all that surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick. Everybody say all. That's a lot of folks. And they begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many touched it, talking about what? The hem of his garment, were made perfectly well. Now notice, here's an example where the anointing on Jesus also was transmitted through his clothes. Are you listening to me? Now let's look at another example. Mark 5:27. We know the woman with the issue of blood. Mark 5:27. And when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his what? Garment. She touched his garment. You getting the picture here? It's transmittable. Transmittable. Look at Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Now, here's another person now, aside from Jesus, who was also anointed, so that from his what? Body were brought unto the sick What they bring from his body to the sick? Handkerchiefs and aprons. And the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So what was Paul doing? They said, Paul, you can't get to everybody personally and lay hands on him, but let's just put some handkerchiefs and aprons on Paul, transmit that anointing into that handkerchief. Come on now, take that handkerchief where it needed to be, and the person receiving it would receive the same anointing on Paul and the same anointing of the Holy Spirit that was on Jesus into their lives. Somebody say glory to God. Healing anointing. Delivering anointing. It removed that burden and destroyed that yoke. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. And so, in some examples, I have personally, we've laid hands on claws, on baby toys, plush animals, and hats. Because these hats are made of material. Cloth material. Fabric. Hem of his garment, fabric. I've been in church services where the pastor was so anointed and in the healing anointing, he just stood in front of the pulpit at the altar, and he just said, if you need healing, just come up and touch my jacket. The anointing was so thick in that place. And people went up and just touched the pastor's clothes. He was a bishop, actually. So they touched his clothes, and man, the healing anointing was transmitted into their bodies. And that anointing affected the healing and brought a cure and undid what Satan had done or sickness has done in their body. Somebody said, glory to God. Now, you got to have faith in the anointing. Secondly, the anointing is also measurable. Everybody say measurable. Now, let me see an example here of Elisha asking Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah came, said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. In other words, he was asking for a double portion of the anointing that was on Elijah. So it's measurable. That means you can have a certain portion, but that portion can increase or even be doubled. Somebody say glory to God. So it's measurable. Number three, the anointing is also tangible. The word tangible means perceptible to the touch. In other words, something that is tangible is capable of being touched. So sometimes we can feel the power of God, because the power of God is like electricity sometimes. You touch an electrical socket, we try to plug them in because, you know, we got the little one, the grandson comes around to keep them from sticking stuff in the socket. Why? You touch that live socket, you come in contact with electricity. And you guess what? You know something has to give. And it's usually not the electrical socket. Praise the Lord. Anybody ever been shocked before? Static electricity even? You know, you feel that. Well, the same thing with the anointing and the power of God. There's times, because of its tangibility, that means sometimes it can be perceived by touch. You can sense, or in one sense of the word, feel, spiritually feel, but sense, you can sense the power going out from you. Now, I've sensed that many, many times. Power is released. Well, it's like electricity. But some people short-circuit that power. Some people squander that power. And some people, others, squelch it or smush it down, smother it down. And that power lies dormant. That power remains inactive. Now, what is those scenarios? When you have a person with no faith, they're like a doorknob. You lay your hands and there's no power connection. Remember, we said there's a connection between faith and the anointing. There's a faith anointing factor. Faith gives action or turns the switch on for the power to be flow and the power to go. Somebody say glory to God. But you got to have faith. So a person is coming up with misguided faith or expectation. They're thinking, well, maybe that person's going to heal me. No, Jesus is the healer. But he anointed us to be healing vessels and instruments or conduits of that healing anointing. How do we know? What did he say in Mark 16? We just read it open. Believers shall lay hands on the what? Sick. And they shall what? They shall recover. Somebody said glory to God. And I'll give you a story just right before we close here. But see, this is tangible anointing. See, here's where our faith and yieldedness are so crucial to prevent what? Squandering the anointing. So I've seen generals in the body of Christ. Brother Hagin, Frederick Casey Price, Dr. Price, minister to the sick. Hours. And I've worked some of those lines. Hours. Preach for an hour, and then they pray for the sick for an hour. It seemed like an hour, 15, an hour and a half. And I've seen them watching when they call for something by the word of knowledge. That means when they call for it, they're anointed to deal with that specific situation. So some people bless their darling hearts and stupid heads. But they would come up and just, okay, the anointing is flowing, so let me just come up anyway. They weren't obedient to the call. So they got in line because they wanted to feel the power and they wanted to hope and wish that they'd get healed. And so they come to him, and I've seen them lay hands on him and then say, what'd you come up here for? Well, you didn't come up for what I called for. And that power would get short-circuited. And one of them even rebuked him, said, now it's going to take three people to get the power to come back on. So you're going to be responsible for these three people missing their healing. Because you short-circuited the power and the anointing. You got to know how to function, flow, and flourish with the anointing and the power of God. See, every pastor, every teacher, every minister is anointed with that equipment to minister not only from the Word of God, but also minister the Spirit of God. And he is the one who anoints us. But how many know people squander that anointing? Another way people squander it or short circuit is they start shouting and praying. Now remember, faith is a good receiver. See, if you're receiving by feeling, people start feeling the power of God and they get so happy and excited instead of making sure by faith I receive the power of God, the healing power of God. So they start shouting and bucking and jumping and not receiving, they're just reacting. And when you just react, you are squandering. Well, this is good stuff tonight. Amen. Or you could be suppressing. In other words, you don't keep the power active. So in those cases, people come down for the wrong focus or the wrong objective. They come to say, well, I'm coming down. You should come down by faith to receive your healing, but you're not expecting God just to do it one way or to manifest healing instantly. Faith receives, whether it's today or it'll take a week or a month or several months. You believe that you receive, when you pray, you thank God that I'm healed now. And you keep that power active and operative in your heart and life. Now, remember, all physical healing, we said, as Brother Hagin clearly said, Kenneth E. Hagin, is spiritual. So you need faith because faith is a receiver. You receive it first into your spirit. And then that anointing, you keep it active through your switch of faith, which is your thanksgiving, your confession of faith, your praise, your thanksgiving, your confession of faith, and your praise. I'll say it one more time. Your thanksgiving, your confession of faith, and your praise. So when people ask you, how you doing, how you feeling, you give your thanksgiving, your confession of faith, and your praise. Somebody say glory to God. You keep the switch of faith on and up. What do? You're giving action to the power. You're giving action to the power. Somebody say, give action to the power. Your faith gives action to the power. It makes it active, staying activated and operative. And that healing anointing affects a healing and brings a cure and undoes what the devil has done or sickness has done in your body. Somebody say, glory to God. It should be, friends, the easiest thing in the world for us to receive healing. Now, you can even lay hands on yourself because you're a believer. And the scripture says in Romans, what? That the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells on the inside of you. It will quicken your mortal body. You know, healing is like a mini quickening, a mini resurrection. It's the same power, the resurrection power. Remember, power, Holy Spirit, anointing, all virtually synonymous. So when you just say, I activate the resurrection power on the inside of me. Now, we're supposed to be healing folks that need healing really outside of the church as a witness and as a work of gospel ministry. But in those times, Christians need to receive their healing for themselves because they haven't developed faith in the healing area. They hadn't understood the healing anointing and the power of God that resides on the inside of them to help them deal with their own burdens, to help them destroy the yokes of bondages in their life. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. Praise God. So you want to flow the flow and the function of the anointing and the power of God to be administered and function fully. So you cooperate with the anointing. You don't obstruct it. Amen. The Holy Spirit's a perfect gentleman. So if you don't, if you're not ready to receive and you don't want to receive, or if you receive the wrong way, you're just reacting, then he's going to wait till you settle down and focus and get in faith. He'll help you know. Amen. Because if you get prayed for once, hands laid on you, and the anointing comes into you, then you need to be asking, Lord, where am I missing it? Because some people could go home and go on for weeks, and still that power is lying dormant. It's not operative. It's not activated. It's turned off. Because their switch of faith is turned down. Now, healing anointing is different from the ministry anointing. So healing is by degree, meaning we need to understand that healing is by degree, and the degree of healing is determined by two conditions. Number one, the degree of healing power administered to the body. There are certain services where the healing power is higher than others. Well, when it's high, then that's a great time to jump in. And then, of course, doesn't mean you can't jump in when it's lower. It just means there's a degree, different degree. And then there's second, there's a degree of faith released by the individual to give action to that healing power. We see this in the example of the woman with the issue of blood. Why? Because Jesus said, her faith, daughter, Mark 5:34. Daughter, thy faith has made you whole. If her faith make you her whole, your faith is what's going to make you whole and keep you whole. Somebody say glory to God. Now, he said, well, didn't the Lord heal her? Yes, it was the Lord's power. But it was her faith that gave action to that power. Praise God. Come on, the healing anointing is here right now. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand right now. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. There's a river of healing right now flowing out of heaven right now. There's a healing anointing. Just reach out and receive and say, it's mine. I have it now. I take it now. I take it right now. I take it right now in Jesus' name. If you're online, take it right now. Take your healing. Take your healing. Receive.